Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. No one we know has seen God. So our connection to God is through faith. And that connection depends on the depth of our faith. As our faith is stronger, as our belief is stronger, our connection is stronger. And our faith is directly related to our belief system and the depth of our belief system and what we believe in. If we believe in the world and the depth of our belief in the world is great, then our faith becomes lessened. The world becomes more important to us. As we lose faith in the world, if we focus on God, our depth in God becomes stronger. As children, if we're brought up in a religious household, God is very tangible when you're a child. God is very real and very easy to believe in. As we get older and we get more involved with the world begins to overwhelm us more and more, and our belief system changes. It becomes more involved in the world. As we get older yet and go into our later years, the world begins to lose its sway on us, and the attachment to the world lessens. And once again, we begin to understand readily the temporary nature of this existence, and the fact that this world cannot sustain us. This world is going to leave us in the same way we're going to leave the world. And then our faith is given the opportunity to grow again. But we have to do more than just have faith. We have to establish an actual relationship with our Lord. We have to believe in Him in the same way as we believe in water when we're thirsty, as we believe in food when we're hungry, as we believe in the light that allows our eyes to see. We have to have a very strong belief system in His existence, and we have to establish a relationship. Most of the religions establish that relationship through formal prayers, ritualistic prayers that are repeated throughout the day. Different religions have different requirements as to when you're supposed to pray and how you're supposed to pray. And prayer is certainly a part of establishing a belief system and a faith in our Lord. But there's more. If you knew Muhammad Rahim Bawa Muhayyadeen, my teacher, you would have noticed that at times he broke into spontaneous song in praise of God and in request of God to accomplish certain things for him. For instance, he would constantly ask God to take care of his children, to take care of his disciples, to take care of the ones who were around him, and to lead them towards him. If we followed how he did this, we would understand that he was creating a direct communication with his Lord. He spoke to his Lord not as someone distant from him, but as someone close to him, who could be directly communicated with. And this is something we should imitate and learn how to do. We should learn to communicate directly with our Lord. We should understand that our Lord is our best friend and the one who maintains and sustains us. Now, if we had a friend who took care of us and maintained and sustained us, we would certainly have a relationship with him. And that's what we need to do with God. We have to establish a relationship with him. Now, if you have a very good friend, you tell your friend what's going on in your life. You explain to your friend all of the difficulties that you're having. And you ask your friend for solutions or help in solving your difficulties. It's the same with our Lord. We should speak directly to our Lord and tell him everything about us. We need to create a communication with him wherein we don't hold back, wherein we release all of our deepest held secrets and hide nothing. In reality, we can't hide anything anyway. So what we need to do is establish a space where we become totally honest with ourselves and with our Lord, where our deepest held secrets are revealed. In the Catholic Church, they have what they call the confessional, where you confess what's been going on in your life to a priest. And that communication is, of course, considered private, and the priest responds to the confession. Well, we should take this confession to another level. We should take this confession without intermediary, directly to our Lord. And we should tell our Lord all that is going on within us. In Sufism, it's understood that if we can get to the point where we can cleanse ourselves and judge ourselves and bring ourselves to purity, we won't need to be judged at the time of the Great Judgment. Well, how do you go about doing this? You go about doing this by confessing your entire life to your Lord and seeking guidance and asking that you be helped to repent from your foibles, to be helped to repent from that which is not going on appropriately in your existence. You have to tell God everything about yourself, from the smallest to the largest thing. And in doing this, a number of things happen. By opening up, that which has been repressed within you comes out. And the stress of that repression is released. by admitting to God what's going on in your life, you're also admitting to yourself what's going on in your life. People not only hide things from others, they hide things from themselves because they don't want to look at them. So by talking directly to God and opening up the deepest recesses of ourself to God, we also open up the deepest recesses of ourselves to ourself, so that we can see what's going on in our existence. And as we see what's going on in our existence, we can then see what's correct and what's incorrect. I had a friend who was in a gathering, and he was having all of these thoughts. And he was in a circle, and it was a circle of people who were seekers. And in truth, he was thinking more about the women in the circle than he was thinking about seeking. And he was trying to figure out a way that he could release himself from this. And he decided to just tell everybody what he was thinking, as opposed to just holding it within himself. And by doing that, he released himself from the torpor of what was grabbing hold of him. And by keeping it a secret, the torpor had a chance to grow. Our secrets have this ability to become a torpor inside of ourselves if we can't let them go. And the way we let them go is to admit them to our Lord. Admit them to our Lord by telling our Lord what they are and by opening ourselves up. Imagine the relief that will come to you by seeing your entire existence in front of you. Imagine having the faith in the mercy of your Lord to be able to admit openly everything that's going on in your life. In doing that, there is an acknowledgement that your Lord is trustworthy, and there's also a very interesting understanding. When we give it thought, our thought tells us that God already knows everything anyway. So this silliness of hiding things from our Lord or hiding things comes into the open. And we begin to realize we can't hide anything anyway. So we should let ourselves loose. We should let ourselves free. We should learn to create communication with our Lord in the most profound way. If you have a best friend, or if you have a mate to whom you admit everything, there's still things in the background that you don't want to let go because of some very simple reasons. It might hurt them. There are things they don't need to know about you. There are things that happened so long ago that bringing them up would just cause pain that is not necessary to cause. But with God, now you have the place where these things can be shown and where you can admit these things. So we have to learn how to set time aside every day, besides our prayers, to talk directly to our Lord and to tell him everything, from the most minute things to the most large things. If the minute things, or the things we think are minute, weren't important to us, they wouldn't come up. They wouldn't come up in our consciousness if they were really that minute. If we had done away with them, we wouldn't be conscious of them. So we shouldn't think of things as minute, and we shouldn't think of things as extremely large. We should think of these things as the things of our life, and we need to learn how to express them and how to make our Lord aware of them. And we have to do this in a conversational tone. If you listened to Baal Mohayedin's songs to his Lord, they were in a conversational tone. My God, I need you to do this. This is necessary for my existence. And if this isn't necessary, please let me understand why it isn't necessary. You have to tell God your difficulties and that which puts you at ease. You have to ask for everything. Don't limit yourself to what you want to talk about. If it comes to your consciousness, then obviously there's a reason to get it out. So don't try and filter yourself during these moments of conversation with your Lord. This isn't the same as talking in the world. This is the penultimate communication, where everything has already been recorded. Now it's a matter of you admitting to the recordings. Someone recently was arrested, and he denied everything, and they asked the police if they had it on tape. And they said, yes, we have all of it on tape. Well, think of it like this. Our life is on tape. And if we can go through the tapes of our lives and admit what has happened directly through our Lord, we are going through our own judgment prior to judgment. We are entering voluntarily into the state of judgment for the sake of our own purification. And this needs to become a methodology that we use to make ourselves pure. This needs to become a methodology that we use to clear ourselves with our Lord. This needs to become our confessional. But more than a confessional, it needs to become our methodology of creating friendship with our best friend, with the one who is closer to us than our mother and father, the one who is closer to us than our husband or wife, the one who is closer to us than our children or our acquaintances, the one who is closer to us than anything that we can imagine within this world. And we have to give him the respect of being totally honest with him, of not holding back from him. And by giving God the respect of not holding anything back, we then give ourselves the respect of not leading a life that's hidden from us. So we need to find a way to open up our existence so that we can become free, free of everything. Repentance means that we acknowledge that which has occurred and enter into a new space where that kind of thing does not occur again. People who stop smoking go through phases. One of the phases is they stop 10 times a day. Then they stop 8 times a day. And sometimes they stop 5 or 6 times a day until they get to the point where they actually stop. For the longest time, they'll talk about stopping. Then they'll begin to smoke less. And then finally, they'll stop. Well, we need to get, if there's going to be repentance, a phase that's beyond words, that enters into action, where We say we did this, and we are doing this, but we aren't going to do this anymore. And then we stop doing it. We enter into a state that alters the way we used to be. And in entering into a state where there is direct communication with your Lord, you've created a sacred space for yourself. You've created a space that is outside of the influences of the world and the influences of everything that is elemental. You've entered into a space now with the unseen. Your faith has taken another step. No longer do you just say, I believe in God, but now you say, not only do I believe in God, but I discuss everything with God. I tell everything to God. I let him know all of my thoughts and all of my inclinations and all of the things that I need and all of the things that trouble me. And I look to him for the response to all of these things, and I look to him as my aid in all of these things. If you have a helper in the world, don't you think you have to tell the helper what you need help with? Don't you need to be able to explain to the helper how that helper can aid you? It's the same way with God. We have to let him know what we need. And then we will begin to see the miracles in our life. And what are these miracles? The miracles are the fact that we can go through our existence without anxiety, without fear, and be in a space that's exalted. No longer does the praise and blame of the world have impact on us, because our reality is now with God. No longer do the pettiness and the vanities of the world have influence on us, because we've transcended that pettiness and those vanities by creating a relationship with our Lord that is above all these things. And in that relationship, we have to understand that we need to remove ourselves from these things. And as you discuss all of the situations in your life with your Lord, all of the small things that bother you will begin to dissipate and disappear. And you will understand what's worthy of consideration and what's not worthy of consideration. You'll understand the way that one needs to act to be appropriate with your Lord. These things will begin to come naturally to you through opening up this communication directly with God. There needs to be a line of communication. It will change your state. It will change your consciousness. It will change the way you see things and the way you do things and the way you understand things. And it needs to become a regular practice. If you're married, you don't talk to your wife or husband on Tuesdays and Thursdays. You see them all the time, and you talk to them all the time. Your God is always with you. And about 2 weeks ago, I was with my chiropractor having an adjustment. And he said to me, explain to me, how come sometimes God is there and sometimes he's not? And I said to him, God is always there. sometimes there's just too much of you there, and you interfere with God's ability to be, with you interfere with your ability to be able to be close to God. And what that means is, essentially, is that when we're overwhelmed by the world, and when the world becomes more and more important to us, God becomes less and less important to us. But if we open up this line of communication, and if we talk directly to God, and we do this on a regular basis, we are acknowledging His supremacy over the world. We are acknowledging His supremacy over everything to ourselves. We are acknowledging that He is supreme in the way we see things. And this is what we have to do. We have to be able to see Him ahead of everything else. We have to understand His attitude ahead of every other attitude. We have to replace His attitude. We have to integrate His attitude into our attitude. His attitude has to replace our attitude. His will has to replace our will. The Christians often say, when they enter into dilemmas, what would Jesus do? And in essence, what they're trying to say is, what's the godly thing to do in this situation? Well, we have to talk to God about what the godly thing to do is in this situation. And if a line of communication is open, God will tell us what the godly thing to do is. But if the line of communication with God is closed and we don't open it, then we're stuck in our own mind and in our own consciousness and in our own ideas and in our own self motives. But if we can talk to God directly and say things like, I would like to be free of self-motive, and I would like my motive to be your motive, and I would like to replace my will with your will, and I would like to know what your will is for me because I have no idea. If we can surrender to that understanding and surrender to allowing Him into our life will change. Why will it change? Because we will become more like Him. We will become more unto Him. We will become more integrated with Him. We will begin to act more like Him. All of this is necessary in order for us to find out who we truly are. The Sufis say that if you know your Lord, you will know yourself. Or if you know yourself, you will know your Lord. Well, it's a reciprocal equation. To know who you are is to know your Lord. To know your Lord is to know who you are. You have to know both. You have to open up a line of communication to your Lord so that your Lord can show you who you are and your Lord can explain to you how you should be. And it'll happen. But open up that line of communication. Create that every day in your life. Create a special time for it. Create a space for it. Welcome it. Make it important to you to have this direct line of communication. And if we can do that, change will occur. Change for the betterment of each and every one of us. May God allow that to happen to all of us. Amin. Amin. Ya Rabbi Alameen. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.